Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday. This is Reverend Koyo Kubose here. I'm glad you joined us. I don't know how the weather is where you're calling from, but it's the first day of spring. Kind of wet and rainy here in Central California. Spring equinox, days and nights are equal length. In the Japanese Buddhist tradition, the equinox is a time of sort of like a spiritual retreat time. And the six paramitas are focused on sort of like Lent, the Buddhist version of Lent. This spring Ohigan, and then they have a fall Ohigan on the fall equinox. So two chances to work on the six paramitas. Well, today's Dharma Glimpse is going to be given by Tate Kubose, who is Adrian and myself's second son, and he lives in Redwood City. Only about 3 hours drive north of us, so that's nice. He's able to come and visit once in a while. So let's hear what he has to share with us for his Dharma Glimpse today.
Okay, so I wanted to share my glimpse with everybody. A few weeks ago, my mom emailed me and asked me if I had any Dharma glimpses that I could share. And I didn't respond to the email right away because I didn't really have a whole lot to share. I hadn't been feeling really glimpsy at all. So after getting her email, I started to try and look for glimpses that I could share if I really wanted to. But like the watched pot that never boils, I wasn't able to produce or see or experience any glimpses. And of course, you know, I knew right away that if you try too hard to see something or to experience something, it most likely won't happen. And the more you look for something, the harder it is to find. So I let a few days pass, and then I started to think about, you know, why I hadn't been feeling really, really glimpsy. And I thought about all that my mind and my energy had been cluttered with. You know, and it was the usual things. It was work and daily life and chores and worrying about something or stressing about something else. And I really left no room at all for any introspection, and I'd be putting all my resources into external things. And obviously, you know, if you focus on external things, you're rarely going to be able to see, you know, have any insights into yourself or into life or into anything else at all. All of your attention is placed on something else. And even when I was deliberately trying to find an experience or a glimpse, my attention was still on something else. And in that case, it was focusing on, you know, trying to attain this glimpse as opposed to letting it happen. And so, you know, then I kind of took a step back and I relaxed my mind a little bit. And then that's, you know, when the glimpse came to me. And as I sort of alluded to already, the glimpse that I had was that you need to make space for the glimpses. Not only make space, but then have the patience to leave that space open and available, make sure not to fill it with anything else, and then just wait until something happens, because it will. The glimpses are all around us, and they're easily seen, but only if we're in a place, a mental, spiritual, psychological, emotional place to notice them, or I guess more accurately, to let them be noticed. So the glimpse that I'm sharing with you today is nothing, you know, radically new or earth-shattering. It's just another example of why it's important to practice some everyday spirituality. You know, that practice creates a space in our cluttered minds where the glimpses can reside. It allows, you know, our spiritual eyes to be more wide open, so it's easier to be in the moment and experience glimpses. So that's a glimpse that I want to share with you today. Make room for insight and glimpses, and then just be patient.
Well, thank you very much. I think that point is well taken. Sort of on a tangential note, what I want to talk about is knowing oneself. sometimes we're too busy taking care of all the things that need to be taken care of in life, and we don't, allow our spiritual life to blossom. What's important and, you know, is a relative thing, but I remember kind of a nice saying that says, goes like this: don't forget what's truly important just because you have to deal with the merely urgent. And it kind of makes a little chuckle there. This is the kind of quote that applies to, especially to busy executives, perhaps, or so-called important people. But that's all of us, isn't it? We have a lot of important things to do, pay our bills and all, you know, the business of life. And sometimes things pile up and you get all kind of responsibilities and we have to stomp on forest fires that's springing up, so-called. And we get too busy. And maybe we forget about the concerns of love and compassion and higher concerns like that. But in addition to those important things, first, know yourself. There's a very famous Buddhist saying, and my father used to like to quote it quite a bit: first know yourself, or first know oneself. And he had, he used to say, yeah, Socrates said the same message, and you know, a lot of great thinkers said, you know, an unexamined life is not worth living, or, you know, similar points. My father's teacher, Reverend Haya Akegarasu, who was born in the late 1800s and he passed away in 1950s. And most teachers in Japan, he did a lot of calligraphies, Chinese characters, and one of them was on a scroll that said, in Japanese, first know oneself. And he gave away his calligraphies to his disciples. And my father has quite a few scrolls written by his teacher. And after my father passed away in the year 2000, you know, cleaning out his office and study and so forth, and these very precious works of art came to me. So as I hold this shikishi, it's called. Shikishi is a square piece of cardboard, maybe about 10 inches on a side. And then that is mounted on a kind of a brocade scroll, a wall hanger, hanging thing. And this shikishi, you use sumire, black ink and brush, and it's quite an art form to do calligraphy. And it is said that you could be enlightened just by looking at a great calligraphy. It has a lot of life in it. It's not just like the block, plain block style. It's sort of the difference between printed letters and, you know, in cursive, somebody's fancy handwriting. But there are some different artistic styles that developed of calligraphy, artistic and unless you had the artistic eye, you might not be able to recognize what the character was that was being written. Okay. And then especially when it's religious material, you need that kind of background in order to interpret and so forth. So not only is it an art to produce that calligraphy, it's an art to be able to read and interpret it. But it's said that when you hang a scroll of a teacher, you know, up in your home or someplace, it symbolizes sort of the teacher's presence. Okay. And it's not just writing of someone who's, you know, historical figure or an abstract teaching. It's his real presence there through his writing. As I hold this shikishi and look at it, then I you know, you know the reality of, well, Reverend Akigatsu wrote this and all the causes and conditions and that came that resulted in it coming to me, and it's all there. I would be amiss if I did not take its teaching to heart. First, know yourself. I remember when I was a young man, and I heard that phrase, my father say that phrase quite a bit. I never knew what he was talking about. What is Buddhism? Buddhism is first know yourself. Without a lot of unpacking, without a lot of life experiences and searching and struggling, you really don't know, you can't appreciate what that means. Does that mean, first know yourself, know your likes and dislike, or know your responsibilities? I'm not talking about that. It's talking about what makes you really a human being. What's life all about? And it's about, it's, of course, in a spiritual context. Of course. And to know oneself, really, the most important part of that is that it's knowing our, limitations. Call it, know our shadow side, because you're not going to grow if you just see your good sides and your strengths. You only grow when you see your weaknesses. Huh? But that's the rub, isn't it? We don't like to look at our weaknesses. Well, let me give you a couple of illustrations that I think are pretty good ones. One is, sometime when you're a youngster, and when you go to school, and you're sitting in the classroom, and the teacher writes something on the blackboard, and you can't read it. And that's the first time you realize you need glasses. Before that, you really didn't realize it. You didn't notice it. But now, in the classroom, when you can't read the board and everyone else can, then you got to go to the optometrist and you get your glasses and, whoa! You didn't know you couldn't see clearly. This is an example of ignorance. You didn't know. Okay. The second illustration is what people in the addiction area know very well. An alcoholic or any addiction problem, the biggest thing is if the person says, hey, I got a problem. If they don't get to that point, hey, no matter what all the treatment's going to be, prognosis is very poor. That's why the first thing in Alcoholics Anonymous, when they get up to testify, they say, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. They know, they got to say, I'm an alcoholic. Okay. And as all counselors would say, if they, that first step is half the battle. Of course, you got another half. You know, half is relative too. It's big when you're going from zero. Half is a lot. But when you're at the halfway point to full, that's a long way to go too. Now, when someone says, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, you know, before that, probably they were in denial. And I'm not talking about a river in Egypt, and that's the joke. You know, they rationalize. No, I could handle it. I don't drink that much. I have a few in socially or whatever. Yeah, I could work. I don't cause any problems. I can function. What do you mean I got a drinking problem? You're the last to know. Man is not a rational animal. He's a rationalizing animal. So, either through ignorance or through arrogance, we don't know ourselves. We don't know what's truly important. Okay? And we're dealing with a lot of our urgent matters in life, all the incidents in life, but we're not dealing with life itself. Because life itself is not an incident. And I think there is a spiritual tool or switch maybe that opens us up, you know, that just awareness switch that says, you know, you don't have to, you just open to teachings. And that openness means that openness of oneself to learn about oneself. And sometimes I think about it, even again, another sort of everyday illustration, perhaps, of this point is, say you watch a movie, and when two friends, they come out of the movie, good movies, great movies, are all about knowing yourself in a way, you know? About life issues, human issues. And you could learn a lot about yourself if you want to look inward. So one person that comes out of the movie could say, gee, be very introspective. And said, gee, that movie was very moving. And inspires me in this way, and I should, you know, he's relating the movie to his personal life. The other person treats the movie as an external object. He doesn't look inward, but he looks at the movie and he's a movie critic. Well, this part of the movie, all right, this thing, and this, you know. I think that's two very different responses. One is trying to know oneself. And the other is knowing something external, not really about oneself. So these are just some thoughts about this very basic teaching. And I remember bringing that shikishi of Reverend Akigarasu to a seminar and saying, well, I want a little help in presenting my seminar, so I call upon Reverend Haya Akigarasu, and I would display his shikishi. And it really adds something, you know, not just historical reference, but the teacher's presence. So that's all for today's broadcast. And I appreciate, send my warm wishes, spring wishes to you. It's around the corner. It's coming. Okay. On this first day of weather, climate, equinox. So please have a very, very beautiful first day of spring. Thank you.